Hi, you're now listening to a sermon from Harvest Community Church in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. We're happy to bring you sermons like this one every week. You can find other sermons at our site at harvest-community.org. So without further ado, here's our speaker.
Good morning, everyone. Like I said, my name is Peter, and it's my honor and pleasure to be up here with you guys. Man, God is funny. I've been super nervous about this since I knew I was going to be up here. Even yesterday, I felt like I was going to throw up. And then as I was sitting up here, I was like, you know what? The snow is coming down. Like, there's not a lot of people here. God is good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to be nervous. You know, there's only going to be like 10 people here. So just be like, youth group, we're good. And I'm sitting up front, and then I come up here, and boom, full house, right? So praise God. God is good. I'll be honest. I'm nervous. I'm usually nervous when I come up here because, you know, like I've said it before, there is a weight and a seriousness to bringing God's word, and it's something that I do take very seriously. But I'm also nervous because, you know, unlike last time that I spoke to the congregation, both Pastor Dave and Pastor Frank are in attendance, which is good, and both of whom have been, you know, very influential in my spiritual life. So forgive me in advance, because I know you guys are used to getting the Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen of preaching, and you're stuck with Judd Bushler today. But it's okay. It's all right. That's for the old heads. But it's okay. We press forward, and I'm praying that in my weakness and in my nervousness, God's glory will shine through. Amen? All right. I'm going to start us off with a little joke I heard on Instagram. I said this on a Friday, so if you heard it already, humor me. Laugh with me. All right? But it goes like this. Ultimately, life comes down to two things. Whether you're healthy or whether you're sick. If you're healthy, you ain't got nothing to worry about. But if you're sick, you got two things to worry about. Whether you're going to get better or whether you're going to get worse. Now, if you're going to get better, you ain't got nothing to worry about. But if you can get worse, you got two things to worry about. Whether you're going to live or whether you're going to die. If you live, you ain't got nothing to worry about. But if you die, you got two things to worry about. Whether you're going to go to heaven, whether you're going to go to hell. If you go to heaven, you ain't got nothing to worry about. But if you go to hell, you got two things to worry about. Original or extra crispy? I know, right? It's a silly joke. And if you don't think that's funny, that's fine, because I think that's funny. That's all that matters, all right? And I know it's a silly joke. It's by a comedian named Mike Goodwin, but I like this joke because I think it's a good warm-up into the scripture we're about to dive into today. It's going to reinforce this idea of there is no spiritual gray area. You either are or you aren't. You're either saved or you're not. You're either for Jesus or you're not. So the title of my message today is called Busy Being Born or Busy Dying. Before I get into it, though, I'm sorry, I skipped ahead because I'm nervous. But before I get started with the message, there are some thank yous that I need to say. Number one, thank you to my wife and my family for all the support in doing two jobs. Admittedly, I get a lot of the thank yous, but my wife and my kids, they bear much of the brunt and much of the work, so thank you to them. Please say thank you to my wife if you see her around. And then can we flash that next slide? Boom, here we go. Our vine trees. These are your youth group leaders. These people have been pouring into your youth year after year. And we call them vine trees because trees don't give vines their nourishment. Trees don't give the vines food, but what trees do is they help prop the vines up. Help prop the vines up so that they can get sunlight, so that they can get photosynthesis. And that's what our vine leaders do. They prop your students up. They walk with them. They care for them. They love for them. So if you see any of these beautiful faces, please say thank you to them at Harvest. And we had to Photoshop this together. My wife did that for me. So thank you again. But yeah, please, if you see them, please say thank you. All right, now back into diving into the message. The title of today's message is Busy Being Born or Busy Dying. And if you're taking notes, the points of scripture we're going to be referring to today is Matthew 25, 31 through 46, Revelation 3, 14 through 20, and Matthew 22, 37 through 40. And let's start by reading the Word of God. Please open up your Bibles with me to Matthew 25, 31 through 46, and follow along. When the Son of Man comes in all his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger or invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." And they also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" And he will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of God. So I was really convicted about this particular passage after I heard Pastor Dave say something at our youth group winter retreat this year. It was a simple phrase, and he said, "Life is terminal." Let that sit with you for a second. Life is terminal. Meaning no one escapes death. Everyone, even everyone in this room, is going to die someday. I'm going to say that again. Life is terminal. It's such a short phrase, but also such a powerful reminder that there will come a time where past the tests, past the college applications, the relationships, the jobs, the family, there will come an end. And as believers in Jesus and his holy word, we believe that at the end there will be a time where the invoice comes due. A time where we will stand before our King to make an accounting of our lives. Where we will have to stand before the judge of the universe and be judged. You guys comfortable yet? Youth group knows, I've been on a roll with these super happy messages, right? But are we comfortable? Because if you're looking for one of the most uncomfortable passages Jesus ever taught, I think Matthew 25 is a great place to start. The chapter starts off with two parables. Two parables, in the parables of the 10 virgins and the parable of the talents. In both stories, Jesus uses the parables to tell the coming of a bridegroom or a master, both of which are the foretelling of the return of Jesus. And both stories warn us that no one knows when Jesus is coming back, but when he does, the check is due. And this is the backdrop of the parable of the sheep and the goats. In it, Jesus describes the final judgment. And what makes it so unsettling, it's not the separation, the left and the right, that's unsettling. But the most unsettling thing is the surprise. You see, both groups look at Jesus and they ask the exact same question. "Lord, when did we?" That tells us something important right away. Both groups thought they were aligned with God, but only one was right. Both groups were surprised, but for different reasons. This means this passage isn't written to scare atheists or irreligious people. It's written to wake up people who assume that their faith is fine. And that's why we need to sit with it. That's why we need to wrestle with it. I encourage you guys to engage in this passage this week and really, really wrestle with it. Let me ask you guys, have you guys ever seen the reality show Undercover Boss? Just show of hands. Have you guys ever seen that show? Yeah, it's a really great show. I would encourage you guys to watch it if you're into that sort of thing. If you guys don't know what it is, it's a reality show, and basically a boss, like an owner of a business or a CEO, he goes undercover into his business just to see the inner workings of the operation, right? And so imagine this. The CEO of a massive company puts on a disguise, fake name, fake backstory. No one knows who he really is. He's working the worst shifts, the lowest paying jobs, alongside people who feel invisible. Some employees complain, some cut corners, some are really harsh, and then there are a few. There are a few who are different. They're kind. They're patient. They help him when no one's watching. They show dignity to someone they think has nothing to offer them in return. And here's the key. They don't do it to impress the boss because they don't even know he's the boss. Then comes the final episode. The disguise comes off. The room goes quiet. And suddenly everything that seemed small is revealed to be massive. Every conversation, every moment of compassion, every time they chose to love when it cost them something. That's the picture of Matthew 25. Jesus says there's a day coming when the disguise comes off. The Son of Man returns in glory seated on his throne, and he separates his people, not based on church attendance, Bible knowledge, or social media theology, but on how they treated him. And in this story, everyone's confused. Lord, when did we? When did we see you hungry? See you thirsty, see you a stranger, naked, sick, and in prison. In other words, they're saying, we don't remember you. We don't remember seeing you. And Jesus says, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. You see, that's the twist. You see, Jesus was at work or your school the whole time. The king was in the prison cell. The Lord of glory was standing at the food pantry. You see, Jesus was wearing the disguise of need. And some people loved him without knowing it, while others ignored him without realizing it. Now, let me be very clear here before we go any further. This passage isn't saying we're saved by good works. It's not. It is saying we are revealed by them. We're not saved by good works. We're revealed by them. The Bible is crystal clear. We are saved by grace alone through faith in Christ alone. You cannot earn your way into the kingdom of heaven. But listen to me clearly here, Harvest. Grace should never show up alone. Grace should always bring transformation with it. You hear me? Grace should always bring transformation with it. And transformation begins with obedience. You see, Jesus doesn't separate sheep and goats based on what they said they believed. He separates them based on what their lives revealed. You see, the sheep didn't serve in order to be saved. They served because salvation had already taken root in them. And here's the simplest way for me to say it. Works don't save you, but they do expose what you actually believe. Works don't save you. They expose what you actually believe. Now, the title of my sermon is from a song from Bob Dylan. an iconic American singer, songwriter, and poet who has profoundly influenced music over 6 decades. And in one of his songs, he says, "He not busy being born is busy dying." Now, I heard this lyric from the song many, many years ago, and it stuck with me ever since as a constant reminder that there is no spiritual neutral. You're not standing still. You're either being formed into something new or slowly drifting away from life. There's no standing still. If grace isn't forming you, it may not have found you. A living faith moves. A living faith bears fruit. Again, this is what we're talking about when we say it reveals. Whereas a dead faith stays comfortable. See, you don't staple apples onto a dead tree, do you? If a tree is alive, fruit happens naturally, organically. Not perfectly, not constantly, but genuinely. So I want everyone in this room to ask yourself, am I growing in the fruits of the Spirit? Is grace transforming the way I love, the way I experience joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? That leads me to my second point. See, most people miss Jesus because he shows up inconveniently. If we go back to the text, Jesus says something that should stop us all in our tracks. Both groups ask him, "When did we see you?" And Jesus responds, "When you saw the hungry, when you saw the stranger, when you saw the sick, when you saw the needy." In other words, he's saying, you didn't miss theology, you missed people. Most of us aren't opposed to helping others. We're just distracted. We don't usually say no, we just say later. I'll do that later. And later quietly becomes never. I think that the goats in this story, they didn't commit obvious scandalous sins. They just lived self-focused, self-reliant, self-righteous lives. They probably didn't hate the needy, they just ignored them. But church, remember, silence is still an answer. We often wait for Jesus to show up in these powerful moments, whether it's through in worship, through spiritual highs or spiritual breakthroughs, while ignoring him in the inconvenient ones. But that's when Jesus says, "That was me." Jesus is saying, if you love me, you won't ignore the people I love. You guys hear that? If you love me, you won't ignore the people I love. Because remember, Jesus separates the sheep and the goats by whether their faith actually moved toward people, not just when it was convenient. And this reinforces the idea of the greatest commandment, which is love God with everything and love people as yourself. Because, guys, when we don't do that, we end up with a version of Christianity that is not how God designed it to be. If we keep doing that, we end up with something that Jesus describes as lukewarm. If you turn your Bibles to Revelation 3, verse 14, Jesus explores this idea of how lukewarm faith feels safe. And that's the problem. Jesus addresses the church of Laodicea, and he says this: "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. The Bible's amazing. I encourage you guys to dive into these passages yourself when you get home. It is amazing it's just like a crazy scientist. I don't know how he puts it together. I don't know how Jesus puts this stuff together. But in Revelation 3, and when he's addressing Laodicea, like, he's just dropping bars and line after line that are just amazing, all right? But I would encourage you guys to explore that on your own. But we're going to touch on a couple of those things right here, all right? Now, before we rush past Jesus' words to the church in Laodicea, we need to understand who they were. Because Jesus never speaks randomly. He speaks specifically. Amen, Vine? Yeah. You see, Laodicea was wealthy. This was a booming city, a financial center, banking capital of the area. They were known for producing luxurious black wool. Black wool, back then. So they would like breed these different types of sheep together, because normally it would just be white wool. But they got it down to the science, and they would produce this very luxurious black wool, high-end, polished, and admired. They even had a world-famous medical school. Do you know how great you have to be like world famous back then? They didn't have phones or social media. Like, it had to be word of mouth. You had to be really that good for it to spread across the world. They had a world-renowned medical school, especially known for eye salve, stuff that you would put over your eyes, that people traveled far to buy. So in other words, this was a city that had everything it needed. And that was the problem. They were rich, self-sufficient, and proud. They didn't feel their need for anything or anyone, including God. Francis Chan would say, this was a church that had learned how to function without desperation for the Holy Spirit. You see, they had resources, systems, and success, but no hunger. And then Jesus uses an image that would have hit them right in the gut when he calls them lukewarm. You see, Laodicea, I don't have a map of it. That's my bad. I should have had one. But if you look at it geographically, just imagine with me here. Laodicea is here, okay? Hierapolis is here, and Colossae is here, okay? All right? So Laodicea didn't have its own water supply. Hot water came from Hierapolis, and cold water came from Colossae, all right? Carried through aqueducts. But by the time it had reached the city, the water was lukewarm. Not healing like hot springs and not refreshing like cold water. Just tepid. Gross. You guys ever had like lukewarm Gatorade or something? That's like the worst thing that you could ever drink, right? That's what he's describing right here. Not refreshing like cold water. Just tepid. Mineral filled. Undrinkable. And Jesus says to them, that's you! That's you. Jesus speaks to a church that thinks it's healthy, but in reality, their church was comfortable and complacent. Just like the lukewarm waters running into their city, they were neither spiritually refreshing or spiritually healing to its people. And that's what lukewarm faith looks like. You guys notice any similarities between that and the goats? Again, Jesus says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. Man, I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Guys, you see, lukewarm water isn't just unpleasant. It's useless. It doesn't heal. It doesn't refresh. It doesn't give life. It just exists. But it accomplishes nothing. So when Jesus says, I wish you were hot or cold, he can be talking about passion levels. But I think in this case, he's talking about purpose. Hot water heals. Cold water refreshes. lukewarm water gets spit out. Which one are you? And here's the warning for us, Harvest, and just all the churches in America. In this day and age, prosperity can quietly replace dependency. Comfort can numb conviction. And success can convince us we're fine when spiritually we're dehydrated. Harvest, you see, Laodicea, that church didn't lose their faith overnight. They just slowly became content with a version of Christianity that didn't require Jesus anymore. And man, that is the problem that I'm seeing in so many places in America today. In the church of Laodicea and a lot of churches in America today, Jesus isn't rejected. He's just not necessary. I pray that that would never be the case for Harvest. So many times he's not the main thing, but an accessory. Just a tagline that we throw on our Instagram bio. And in a church like that, where is Jesus in that church? He's not leading it. He's not ruling it. He's not directing. What does Revelations tell us? He's standing outside the door, knocking. Knocking. I don't know about you guys, but that should terrify you and relieve you at the same time. Because lukewarm Christianity isn't about doing bad things. It's about doing things without dependence on Jesus. It's when Jesus just becomes a part of your life instead of the center of it. See, Jesus, he's not asking for a spare room. He wants the whole house. A little real estate reference there for you guys. That leads me on to my last point. I know it's been long, just please bear with me. We're almost there. Can you guys just smile at me for a second? Thank you. All right. So my last point, and it's this. Busy being born means moving towards people. You see, Matthew 25 isn't asking, hey, did you do enough? It's asking, what direction is your life moving in? Because busy being born looks like movement. Not dramatic heroics, not saving the world. And don't get me wrong, there are some of you in this room that are going to do that. But in reality, it just means that it's a faith that moves outward instead of inward. You don't need to fix everything. Listen to me clearly here. You don't need to fix everything. You just need to stop ignoring the people that God has already placed in front of you. See, grace doesn't make us perfect. Can I get an amen to that? Grace does not make us perfect, but it makes us available. It softens us. It interrupts us. And it sends us. And the good news is how Revelation 3 ends, where Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. Which means it's not too late. But it also means that the warning is real. Bob Dylan was right. You're either busy being born or busy dying. There's no standing still. There's no spiritual gray area. Morality alone cannot save us, but only a submitted life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will do that. So here's the question for all of us, whether you're in youth group or an adult, and it's a question we can't avoid. Is your faith moving toward Jesus and toward others, or is it just keeping you comfortable? Is your faith moving you toward Jesus and toward others, or is it just keeping you comfortable? Now, if you call Harvest your home, or if you're a partner here at Harvest, I want to encourage you, man, if this message convicts you or challenges you, then one very practical and applicable way that you can apply it is by, man, investing in the next generation here at our church or in your community. Now, I know this may seem a little bit biased coming from your youth pastor, but hear me out. This generation of young souls, man, they're up against it. They're up against it. They're facing more mental, emotional, spiritual attacks than ever before. They have to withstand so many lies and false doctrines broadcasted to their face constantly. And as Christians and followers of Jesus, it is our responsibility to teach our children, to pour into them, and to teach them the stories of the Bible, to teach them and show them the redemptive power and the love of Jesus Christ. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? If you don't do it, who's going to do it? I mean, if you want to talk about helping out people who have nothing to offer you in return, man, then Seeds is the perfect place to start. Believe me, I got 3 kids of my own in Seeds. The only thing they offer me are smiles, headaches, and bills. Just kidding, my kids are amazing. Harvest. Jesus is knocking. The only answer left is whether you'll open the door. Let me close with this verse that has been guiding my life the past year, and that's Matthew 22, 37 through 38. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. If you are a follower of Jesus, let this be a reminder to all of us that if we are truly saved by the grace of God, then that grace should bring with it a transformation. And that transformation happens through obedience and loving God with everything. And loving others as you love yourself. So my challenge to you is this. This week and beyond, harvest, vine, be a sheep. And spend your life busy being aligned with the heart of God. Take inventory of your life and see who needs to experience God's love through you. Whether it be taking someone to lunch or volunteering your time or making a phone call or serving in Seeds or another church ministry or just sitting with someone in their pain. Let's be sheep. Let's be on fire for God and not lukewarm. Let's be busy being born instead of busy dying. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, Lord, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you, Lord, that your grace and your mercy is new every morning because we need it. And Lord God, this morning in your presence, we pray that we would bask in your glory and the amazingness of who you are.
And that in being in your presence and being in your court, Lord God, that we would understand the magnitude of your grace. And we pray that that grace would transform us. That we would not just be hearers of the word, that we would be doers of the word. That we would love you with everything and that we would love people because you love them. And so, Lord, we pray that that would be the story of Harvest. That we would boast in nothing else than in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we commit our church to you. We commit the next generation to you. We commit our lives to you. We pray that you would lead us, that we would obey, that we would be sheep and not goats, that we would be busy being born instead of busy dying. So Lord God, we thank you. We pray that this time was pleasing to you. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would convict us, transform our hearts, that when we leave this place, we would be changed. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Join me in prayer, please. I know the message today wasn't an easy one to hear. I pray for all of you that received it, that you would not receive it in a spirit of guilt or condemnation, but that you would receive it as a wake-up call. The beauty of God's Holy Scriptures is that it's not just words on pages, it is a mirror. It is a mirror that shows us how we should truly be and how we should truly live. And it's Jesus and his words that are the only thing that can set us free. And so as you leave this place today, I pray that you would not leave in guilt, but that you would leave in conviction. So Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we thank you again so much for this time. Lord God, we love you so much. We thank you so much for how much you love us. Lord God, we pray that we would be stewards, not users, of the things that you've blessed us with. Help us to see you in other people. Help us to serve and love because you first served and loved us. And so, Lord God, as we leave this place today, we pray that you would protect us and bless us, that you would watch over us, keep us safe. But most importantly, that every moment we would dedicate to you. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Harvest Community Church. If you would like more information or have any questions or comments, check out our website at harvest-community.org. Thanks for listening.